A quick Google search on personal finance and gender yielded 170 million results. So much data, so many different opinions. Add this to the mix. A new study from CPA Canada provides some nuance on the discussion, weaves in some insight on personality traits. Robin Tobe is an accountant, author, financial expert, and she's here now to tell us more about a bunch of these factors and provide some new perspective on the financial gender gap. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
We could talk about this every day, all day, because it's fascinating to me, especially as a parent of a nine-year-old girl. Mm-hmm. Tell me about the CPA research. What are the most relevant findings for you here?
I think there's a perception that men are more financially literate than women. And what this study did was it dug deeper into this issue of gender. And what it came out with was that when you dig into it, there are other factors that have a very large influence on our attitudes towards money, our habits, and our knowledge. And those things are socioeconomic factors like age, income, and education. But more interestingly, personality. So your actual hardwired personality. And it kind of looked at different things like how good you are at making ends meet, how good you are at keeping track of money, planning ahead, things like that. And what it found was that for those three things, there was very little difference between men and women. But for things like choosing financial products, staying informed about finances, and actual financial knowledge, your personality had a lot more to do with it than your gender.
Now, both StatsCan and CPA have provided some data on financial literacy. It's always so disappointing because the scores are so low. Tell us more about the difference there that those studies found.
Yeah, so you're right. The scores are usually low in general, like, you know, C plus for men versus D minus for women when it comes to things like financial knowledge quiz, like answering some basic questions correctly. But what it found was that women aren't significantly different from men when it comes to making ends meet, keeping track, budgeting, planning, like some basic financial planning stuff.
Do you make the inference then that a female's concern about her ability in that area is societal?
Well, that's
the other. She thinks she's not as good?
Yeah. I mean, that's the other thing is how confident do women versus men feel about money? Or when they are, when they're self-assessing how knowledgeable they are, usually women show that they are, that they feel like they're less knowledgeable. And I think, yeah, there were societal norms that made men in charge of that sphere. That they were kind of, you know, the breadwinners and they were in charge of the money and women were kind of told not to worry so much about that.
This personality traits thing is fascinating to me. There's an acronym that is OCEAN and it references five different traits, the first being openness to experience. Tell us a bit more about these traits and how they weave into the financial world.
Yeah, so these traits are well established in the psychiatry or psychology field. And so they're openness, conscientiousness, which is something you may have heard referred to as grit. That's kind of being talked about a lot. Extroversion, which is positive emotionality. Agreeableness. And then lastly, neuroticism, which kind of gets a bad
rap. First four are totally me. This is the fifth one. I don't even, never would that be used to describe me.
Negative emotionality. Never.
Like, never.
And of those five, some you know, have nothing or really not gender correlated, but conscientiousness, agreeableness, and neuroticism, the research has shown that there's gender differences. And on average, and I'm not saying this is true for every man and everyone, but on average, women tend to be more conscientious, specifically when it comes to things like discipline. They tend to be more agreeable, which is sort of, you know, being pleasant, kind of being cooperative, going along, going with the flow, as opposed to questioning and skeptical. And they tend to be more neurotic, which means more displaying more negative emotions.
What is your personal take as a author, financial expert, seasoned businesswoman on this research?
To me, it resonated because I felt like, I mean, if you think about your own personality, and I think about myself, highly conscientious. Quite agreeable. I don't think I'm crazy neurotic. That's my family.
Your family will tell you, maybe say something different.
But somewhat. Like there is some reactivity.
But you have a background in numbers.
I do.
Do you have a confidence question about your ability to manage the
not
math?
Not at all.
And you never did.
And I never did. And again, I think that's part of a kind of like a virtuous cycle in that I was always kind of good with math, confident with math, and then it just became something that I sought out more because I enjoyed it. And I, you know, I did a BCom like you, Bruce, and then I became a CA, a CPA.
Yeah.
So I've always been very comfortable in that sphere. And, you know, each experience I've had has led me to become even more confident. Plus the training that I had, especially the training as an accountant, like it's
yeah.
very rigorous with numbers. So I've always felt comfortable in the financial world. And I also felt like I was playing to my strengths because I am really conscientious. So that makes you a good financial planner. It makes you a good investor. You're very disciplined. You're going to stick to your plan. And then if you, you know, the agreeableness can kind of cut both ways because with women, if they're not skeptical or questioning and they tend to nod along in meetings and just kind of accept the advice they're being given without, you know, really questioning that, that isn't always, doesn't always result in a good outcome.
What do you think is the call to action here? I mean, certainly we know that not only is there are there gaps in terms of knowledge, there are certainly gaps in terms of pay equity. We know like all these other things. What should we be doing about this?
Well, I think some of the interventions don't necessarily have to be targeted to gender. So maybe more to personality. So if you know you're not a very conscientious person, you tend to be a bit lazy and undisciplined, then things like automating your savings, setting up an automatic savings program where a portion of your pay gets deposited into a separate savings or investment account is something that's really going to help you because you're mitigating a weakness that you know you have. You know, to tell women to be, you know, better with budgeting or better with making ends meet isn't really helpful because they're already good at those things. But there are certain, you know, women do also suffer from certain advantages like the gender pay gap, like the fact that women tend to take more career breaks and our salaries peak earlier and we live longer. So we definitely have to do certain things to make up for some of those deficits. But it's not necessarily just a gender thing. And you really want to make sure these interventions that you're using are playing to the individual and, you know, what they're good at and what they're not good at.
What does the data say about investing style? So there's a lot out there on the success of women as investors, how they approach it, how they think through these kinds of decisions.
Yeah, there's data that shows they're actually better investors once they get started. They start later, but once they get started, because they exhibit a lot of the qualities that make Warren Buffett a good investor. They're patient. They don't take a lot of They take well thought out risks, calculated risks, but they don't trade a lot. They're not overconfident. So a lot of those things that women make personality wise have in them or more female type of characteristics really serve them well as investors.
I spoke at an event on the weekend that had literally four men in the room. Of the 150, 200 people in the room, there were four men in the room, and I was one of them. It was a great event. It was the Ontario Home Economists Association, and it just skews female, right? Just skews female. One of the points that I made in that environment, because it is so female-dominated, is how important it is for women to engage given the likelihood that they will be single at some point in their life. If we simply look at the mortality tables,
correct.
How do we have that sort of vested interest be ubiquitous instead of what it is today, which is really spotty? And people, you know, if they are in a heterosexual marriage, they don't necessarily make sure that they're following along and then their husband drops dead and they've got statistically another 4 years to go at minimum.
You're right. A lot of women aren't engaged and they kind of let their husbands take care of that stuff. And, you know, understandably, like, you know, you have a young child, like you're busy at certain stages of your life. And if someone has more time and more of an affinity, it's easy to delegate that. But I think what women need to, and again, being agreeable is good in some ways because it means you ask for help. So I think for women, maybe working with a trusted advisor, someone that they really feel understands them, understands their personality, understands some of the challenges that they've had, you know, financially, and that can help them, you know, create a plan and then stay on track and deal with some of these things that do come up, like death and divorce.
In preparation for our conversation, you immersed yourself in lots of different studies and lots of different data points. We've talked about some of it, but is there another data point that you would want to bring to life in our conversation here to make sure that we included that in this conversation?
Well, I think the CPA Canada study was unique. I had never come across anything that really looked at the personality traits.
Yeah, it almost felt contrarian.
Yeah.
It almost felt, did you feel that way to you?
It did. And it was two researchers. I think they're from the University of Ottawa or Carleton University.
Yeah.
So it was rigorously done. And I mean, I think if you're interested, you can, you know, look that one up. So it's CPA Canada's website has it. But to me, because it's fairly new. And CPA Canada is doing a lot of stuff on financial literacy, a lot of research and a lot of community workshops and stuff. And I think they wanted to look at this issue because I think there is this perception that there is a gender gap in financial literacy. But when they really looked deeper down, there was a lot more at play. As you said, it's way more nuanced and personality is a big part of that.
Robin, you have personality. I appreciate you bringing your personality to the show.
So do you. Thank
Robin,
you.
Robin Taube. CPA, author, financial expert. We're talking about the financial gender gap, what it is, what is real, and what's personality.